namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Today we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 49, text 20. So we'll chant text 20, and then I'll read 21 also.
Neha chakyanta sambhasa.
Kasya chit kena chit saha.
Rajan svena api dehena.
Kim
ujayatma jadipi.
Neha chatyanta sambhasa.
Kasya chit kena chit saha.
Rajan svanapi dena.
Kim ujayatma jadipi.
Neha chajanta sambhasa.
Kasya chit kena chit saha.
Rajan svanapi dena.
Kim ujayatma jadi bi.
Please chant.
Neha
chakyanta sambhasa.
Kasya chit kena chit
saha.
Rajan svenapi dehena.
Kim ujayatma jadili.
Neha jayatma sambhasa.
Kasya chit kena chit saha.
Rajan svenapi dehena.
Kim ujayatma jadili.
Ladies. Ajanta, perpetual.
Sambhasa,
association, dwelling together.
Kasyachit,
of anyone.
Kenachit,
saha,
with anyone.
Rajan,
O king.
Svena, with one's own. Api, even. Dehena, body. Kim u,
what to speak then.
Jaya, with wife. Atmaja, children. Adibi, and so on. Translation by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In this world, no one has any permanent relationship with anyone else, O King. We cannot stay forever, even within our own body. What to speak of our wife, children, and the rest? Please repeat. In this world, no one has any permanent relationship with anyone else, O King. We cannot stay forever, even with our own body. What to speak of our wife, children, and the rest? So I'll chant text 21 also. Eka prasuja. Eka prasuyate jantu, eka evra praliyate, eka nubunte sukritam, eka eva chaduskritam. Translation. Every creature is born alone and dies alone. And alone one experiences the just rewards of his good and evil deeds. Purport. The term anubunte is significant here. Bhunkti means the living being experiences, and anu means following or in sequence. In other words, we experience happiness and distress according to moral and spiritual quality of our activities. We are responsible for what we do. Dhritarashtra was falsely and obsessively attached to his evil-minded sons, forgetting that he alone would have to suffer for his imprudent behavior. Om Agana Timaranda Sya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobhistam Swapitam Anitve Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Tamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hripiye Vanchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, question here, maybe some of the students can answer. Who is speaking? Anyone know? Gauranga. He's speaking, but who's directly speaking originally these words? Yes, any of these? Who? Krishna. Not today, no. Anyone else? Prabhupada. No, okay. Why not? No, this is Akrura. is related to Krishna, but it is not Krishna. Akrura. And we'll try again. Anyone know who he's speaking to? Who was in the purport? Any? There's a hand up somewhere? Well, go ahead and speak. Please, go ahead. Tell us. No.
Blind king.
The blind king. Who is blind? And yes. Dhritarashtra, yes. He is the father of the Kurus. He had 100 sons. Recently I heard the account. First of all, to have 100 sons is not ordinary. Very unusual. So he's speaking in the second verse about reactions to one's past deeds. So to have 100 sons was a reaction to something he did in the past. How far in the past? 50 lifetimes. 50 lifetimes, and previously he had performed some pious activities. And actually, 50 lifetimes previously, he performed some impious activities. He actually killed, I guess it was 100 birds, intentionally. So as a result, he had to have his 100 sons killed. But he couldn't have his 100 sons killed until he was pious enough to have 100 sons. So he had to take 50 births to accumulate pious activities so he could have those 100 sons. That's a little scary. Something you may do now, you may have to wait 50 more lifetimes for it to come and bear a result. So in this particular verse, verse 20, Vishnubhat Chakravarti Thakur quotes that Akura said, "Even your dear sons such as Duryodhana will not remain here forever." So this text here says, in this world, no one has any permanent relationship with anyone else, O King. We cannot stay forever, even with our own body, what to speak of our wife, children, and the rest. So everyone wants to stay forever with their family, right? Anyone want to have to leave their family right away? Really? Interesting. Okay. I guess we'll hear that story later. But generally, I know what he wants to. Oh, also more answers there. Okay. So, okay, thank you. In general, though, those who are living in the family situation don't want to hear that it's temporary. Their mothers and fathers, they're going away. They're not going to be with us, not even for our whole lifetime, usually. And what to speak of when we have our own children? We cannot be with them throughout their whole life. Most probably, it'll be very temporary. So Akrura is speaking this difficult message to Dhritarashtra. And this is very similar to another time in the Bhagavatam, third canto, and Dhritarashtra got another similar message. Well, actually many times he got this message from his own brother. Anyone know who his brother was? Dhritarashtra's brother? Okay, let's see if we can get this one. Okay, we'll ask the older one. Vidura, yes, Vidura. And he told him many times, stop your plans. You're making so many plans to put your sons as kings. It's not right. It's not moral. It's going to cause you problems. And your sons also are not good. They're not good qualified people. There's some problem there. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen because he was very attached. I am going to be king, he thought, and if I cannot be king, at least my children will be king. Mike's sons, they will all rule the planet. That is almost as good as being king. So he wanted that. He wanted that very much. So he couldn't hear anything. Just like if there's something we want to do. Suppose you want to go play something right now. Can you pay attention to what we're talking in the class? Probably not. Anything we say is just going to go right over your head. You won't even hear a word I say. Because we're focused on one desire, and that desire makes us forget everything else. So Dhritarashtra was like that. But, like, there's one lady, every Wednesday night at my house we have a Bhakti Riksha program. Nathan, Charles, some others come. And we discuss different topics in Krishna consciousness. So last week one lady came. She happened to be the aunt of Jayashri. There you are, Hare Krishna. And she told us that her sister, oh, that's Jayashri's mother, excuse me. That's the her mother is Jayashri. Didn't say it right. So Jayashri had been telling her so many times over her life, that was her sister, you know, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, so many things about the philosophy. She said, 37 years she's been speaking to me, and I wasn't ready. But now I am. So Dhritarashtra, he also heard many, many times. But finally, at the very end of his life, Vidura came back again, and he gave him the same message. Now you're old. Now your life is almost finished. Get out. Get out of this house. You're going to die just like a dog in this house. So get out. Be a human being and take responsibility for your spiritual life. Get out. And renounce your family instead of staying here just like a dog that's fed from the table, and go practice self-realization. And he did that. And he achieved some level of perfection because he could finally hear at the very end of his life. So our instructions don't go in vain, but they may just take a while for people to understand. And so they're definitely worth delivering, worth speaking. We know that the message of the Bhagavatam is very relishable, very sweet. But sometimes we just have to hear it again and again and again. See, like right now, children are all distracted, so difficult to hear. So we hear it again and again and again, and then gradually the walls of our desires and the walls of our different karma get worn down, and we finally hear. We finally get the message when we're finally ready. Sometimes it takes a while. Because of our attachments and desires, it can take a while before those messages can actually penetrate the heart. So this text 20 says that our relationships here in the material world, they're all very temporary. These bodies, we hear so many times, they won't last forever. We hear that, but somehow or other, it just doesn't quite sink in. We're distracted. We think, I'll deal with that later. There'll be a time in the future, maybe when I'm very old, in my last few weeks, and then that message will be very powerful and I can take advantage. People in general think like this. Don't tell me about dying. It's not a pleasant subject. Especially children, they don't want to hear. I know my life was a little different. When I was 7 years old, I had to contemplate that very seriously. because at that time I was born with a heart condition. And at 7 years old, I had to have a heart operation, which at that time, no guarantee of success. They said maybe 50-50. So 7 years old, not a good time to be thinking about death. But there it was. Didn't wait for some 80 years. No. 7 years old. So it changed my focus that other brothers and sisters didn't have. It was always on my mind. How long do I have? How much time do I have to live in this body? I have to do something. I have to find out what it's all about, and then I have to act on it. I'm not saying I'm some special, extraordinary person, but in general, this is what has to happen. We have to hear, and we have to wake up that we don't have a lot of time. We think when we're young, many, many years to come. But all it takes is one serious disease or one auto accident, and it can be all over in a minute. We don't like to hear that, especially children. Sometimes in the West, we don't want the children to hear about death. It's not good. Too scary, traumatic. What to speak of this message that he gives in the next one, next verse, text 21. Every creature is born alone and dies alone. And alone one experiences the just rewards of his good and evil deeds. So in family life, we don't want to hear that we're alone. Whatever is happening, it's happening to me alone. And whatever result is coming, it's only coming on me. We have so many people in our family, our brothers, our sisters, parents. We're thinking they're all protecting me. They're all taking care of me. I will be in a good position as long as they're around me. But this verse says, no, they're not going to help you. They can't help you. Everyone is suffering and enjoying by themselves, ultimately. And whatever we do, we have to take responsibility. Very important. So who can I trust that will always be there for me in good and bad times? Who can I trust that is going to protect me and provide for me? Yes. What's that? Krishna. Yes. Krishna will do that. So we have to build a strong relationship with Krishna because he's the one who's going to take care of us. He's the one that's going to protect us and provide for us. Others may be there as his agents, as his helpers, but he's the one that's doing it. He's arranging everything. Now in this text 21, we hear about being alone. We are social. We like to share our happiness and distress with somebody, usually with somebody in our family, brothers and sisters, or our friends. So we don't want to hear that, hey, you're suffering alone, or you're enjoying alone. We don't want to hear that. It sounds very cold and impersonal. I remember in the 60s, that generation, there was many songs put out by different people. Some were very philosophical. And one of the first songs I heard my brother played, he bought the cassette, and it was by Simon Garfunkel. We sang, the title was, I Am a Rock. I am an island. And he says, I built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship because friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island. Don't talk of love. So he says like this. Why? Because at the end he says, a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. So he saw that relationships cause pain in the material world. So he didn't want any of it. No relationships. Sounds like the same message here. No relationships. No, relationships are not important. Is that the message here? Not exactly. It is and it isn't. He's saying no relationships here because Dhritarashtra is depending on these relationships. He wants these, he thinks these relationships are bringing him happiness. They're going to be the key to everything he wants. So he's very attached. Attached in a wrong way, because he thinks that whatever his sons do, it's okay. They're my sons. They can't do anything wrong. It's going to fill my desire. But they were doing some things wrong. The Kurus, headed by Duryodhana, what were they doing wrong? Anyone know? Are they giving some difficulty to anybody? Yes? No, they weren't? How about the Pandavas? They were giving the Pandavas so much trouble. They tried to poison Bhima. They tried to send him away to the forest. They tried to take away their kingdom. They tried to burn down the house that they were living in. So many ways they tried to cause them trouble and get them out of the way. Somebody's giving you trouble. You think, if I just get that person out of the way, my problems will stop. But actually our problems are coming from our own self. We brought on our problems. So the message given here, it's not that we don't want relationships. Especially as a devotee, we must. We want relationships. But what kind of relationships? Relationships that are going to cause pain? Or do we want relationships that are beneficial and supportive and meant to be treasured? Do we want relationships that are based on reality? That we're all connected with Krishna. And that someone reminds me of my connection with Krishna. Not makes me forget that. Like when I was joining the movement, I had some friends. And they were doing everything that we're not supposed to do. And finally, one time, one person put it to me, the question, he said, listen, either you be with me or Krishna. You choose. And at that time, I had been praying a lot to Krishna, and I said, that's easy. Goodbye. It was actually very hard, but Krishna helped me at that point, because I knew that question was coming. And it was at a junction in my life where I had to choose Krishna or continue my material life. And he helped me make that decision. And it was easier than I thought it would be. So they put it like that. Another friend, he said, can we have some relationship without Krishna? I said, Krishna is everything for me. How are we going to have a relationship without Krishna? What will we do? You want to do all these things that are not connected with Krishna? I don't want to do things not connected with Krishna. So what kind of relationship will I have? So he didn't like that. He didn't understand spirituality. So our relationships, they're meant to help us. As the term is there, priti lakshanam. Loving exchanges. Loving exchanges based on what? On spiritual principles. Not to make us forget Krishna, but to remember Krishna. So Dhritarashtra's sons were making him forget Krishna, go against Krishna. So he needed to forget those relationships. He needed to go away from those relationships. So this was very important. We have to act in this world, and so we have to make choices like that. Sometimes not always easy choices. Sometimes difficult. Sometimes very difficult. I remember this one friend that, one of my friends from before I became a devotee, he, about a few years ago, I found his address, and I contacted him again and started telling me, oh, this one's doing this, that one's doing this, telling me the whole catch-up story. And at one point he said, by the way, are you still with Hare Krishna? So I knew this was not an easy question for him. So I said, well, yes, a little bit. He never said another word to me after that. That was the end. It was Krishna or him. So after 35 years, no change. So I could see Krishna helped me make that decision that these people weren't in my best interest. Difficult decisions. So Krishna also wants us to do something else here. He's having Akura instruct us. And we can see this in the purport. It said that in other words, we experience happiness and distress according to moral and spiritual quality of activities. We are responsible for what we do. So sometimes this is difficult for a person to say, whatever I do, I'm responsible for what happens, for what I've done and for the results. It is my choice. It is my my responsibility to suffer and enjoy what happens from those activities. And what I did was my choice. It was not somebody else forced me or some unfortunate thing happened. And therefore, I had no choice. Sometimes modern people have a philosophy that, no, my circumstances, my upbringing, my family, this and that all led me to certain choices. So I'm not responsible. But it's not true. You are responsible. You make choices, and the choice, responsibility resides with you only. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, not even, but especially in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna has spoken the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And then he says, In the end, he says, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So he's telling him, you make a decision. If you're going to follow my instruction or not. If you don't, you'll be lost. You'll be lost in this material world. So this is important for us to also remember. We're making choices. Even you're young, you're making choices, right? Every day you make choices. You make choices. You want to listen to your teacher. You want to do what your parents tell you. You want to learn in school. You make choices how to act with your friends. We all make choices constantly. But there's a result to every choice we make. And those are our responsibility. Not somebody else's. But our choice, our choices are something we have to take responsibility for. So let me stop here and ask if there's any questions, comments, something you want to add. Girls, you and boys, you want to add anything? Question? Were you all listening today or somewhere else? Anyone else? Yes, Jim asked me for one.
You were describing, you know, how there's in modern times there's this understanding that you know, we are who we are due to our upbringing. You know, like Sigmund Freud puts a lot on the parents. But then, you know, I'm just kind of playing the devil's advocate here. You know, in the process of psychotherapy, you know, the therapist gets the client to kind of express, you know, what he's been through, and somehow or other, there's some healing that takes place where he's better able to, you know, con- focus, control his mind, and be stable in his activities. So it seems to be, you know, there seems to be some effectiveness in this, you know, this empathic listening or whatever. So how is it that we can make the adjustment and understand this, the effectiveness of psychotherapy in the context of our philosophy?
Well, psychotherapy deals with the mind and different influences on the mind, positive and negative. And certainly it's related to our environment and everything else that we're subjected to. Not only this lifetime, many lifetimes. Many lifetimes. Perhaps we could even say why Dhritarashtra was so attached to his 100 sons, because he'd been waiting 50 lifetimes for them. So, yeah, there's some relevance, but ultimately, to make someone not responsible for what they do breeds a certain kind of deterioration in society. Therefore, what do we see now? We see students walking into school with a gun and start shooting people. I never heard of that when I was a kid. Didn't happen. Did it happen in... Never. Now, children are free at a young age to bring a loaded gun into classroom and start shooting their teachers and their co-students. This one criticized me. Bang, I'll kill him. They're not responsible for that. We should just forget it. No, there's something wrong there. Maybe they can be adjusted, help, but they also have to pay the consequences of that action. So both have to be there. And part of the fact is that when people are not forced to accept the consequences, then they don't get the message that what I do is what I'm responsible for. It's my choice. And to say I've not made the choice, I was forced, is an escape. Escaping responsibility. So yes, help the person, but not giving them freedom. Okay, dispense. Didn't matter. You killed 20 people. It's okay. You're having a bad day. You know? What about all the other people that were killed? Now they're having a bad, their whole life is finished. What's the responsibility for them? So things are upside down when we don't take advantage of Krishna's instructions, Krishna's directions for human civilization. And people adjust things sometimes incorrectly as to what is a priority and what is most important. Is it the person who perpetrates the action, he's most important, or is the person that was affected by his action, or both? Yeah.
I looked up the word palliative, and it referred me to palliate, to make the effects of something, such as an illness, less painful, harmful, or harsh. Reduce the violence of a disease to ease the symptoms without curing the underlying disease. So this psychotherapy, it can adjust the mind, as you say, and adjust the emotions, so one is better able to cope with a certain situation he has. But it doesn't get to the root of the problem. Nowadays, I've read that the old Freudian, you know, the conversation, they do that less now. Why waste all that time? Just give them a pill, you know. It's much more now, you know, you get 15 minutes, 10 minutes with the psychotherapy, whatever, and just give them, it's all pharmaceuticals. Because it seems to also palliate the problems, right? And now they have this new thing where if you have PTSD or you have some horrible
experience
that's haunting you, you know, like in a war or something, oh, we can just go in there and we can get rid of that memory. They can get to the brain, you know, that you can just forget about it. You know? So that's what the whole material world is about. It's like palliative. You know, you have a need and you try to fulfill it, but that creates a further problem. As Pallad says so famously, the very remedy for the problem causes you more problems. dukaushadam tadapi dukam. So this is what happens in the material world. Until you get to the root of the whole problem, which is your very existence in this material world, you're forgetting Krishna, then it's just going to be one thing after another, and you'll be bound in this material world. So whether it's psychotherapy or pharmaceuticals or anything other than Krishna consciousness, it's illusion. Hare Krishna. Sorry.
Yeah. And the... Oh. Okay, just let me just say one thing, and that is that this idea of being palatable, making the results more acceptable, easy to deal with, when they go in front of Yamaraj, he doesn't make it more palatable. If they've killed so many animals, they're going to be cooked, He doesn't say, okay, we don't want you to suffer too much. No.
Turn the heat down
while I'm boiling here. It's getting a little uncomfortable, No. Those are not reduced. So if they reduce here, probably they'll have to suffer more in the future because a certain amount of reaction is there. You want to spread it out, then it'll just make it longer and more difficult. Go ahead.
So a student has a question. She's read books about past lives where people seem to love matches. They seem to, over lifetimes, find each other again, this type of situation. And she's wondering, you said that things are impermanent and that people don't have continuing relationships. And so why does that happen? Or does Krishna desire that? Or we hear that devotee relationships, they're permanent relationships. So how does that work with the verse?
How does which work? The devotee relationships or the other?
Or things? Even the other ones that seems like lifetime, that, someone is your enemy and then they're your mother. That you seem to cycle through different souls coming to contact with each other over lifetimes.
Well, the coming together over lifetimes is one aspect. And with devotee relationships, Prabhupada said, yes, we will have ISKCON in the spiritual world and we'll all be there. So we know that those relationships will continue. Maybe it won't exactly look like you look now. It may be, bumblebee or who knows what. But that's all good. And as far as people remembering past relationships and interacting and somehow, that is karma. Something happened for some reason, and maybe they wanted it, maybe they didn't want it. And now they have to keep interacting again and again because of something in a previous life. It's like if someone steals from somebody, then in the future, they have to return something back to that person. So that means, these two people have to come together again somehow or other. And it has to reverse. So sometimes, they have to come back again. Mostly, no, they don't. Some religions are all based upon that at the end of this life, I'll go to some place and all my relatives will be there. And they're so convinced. All of them except Uncle Joe. I don't want him there. These things are all temporary, and if there is some connection, it's some karma. It could be good, it could be bad, but ultimately it's all bad. It's all bad. Why? Because we have to stay here to experience it. So someone may have a best friend and say, I wanted my next life to be with that best friend. Fine. That means you're going to be here another time. And you're going to have to go through it all again, including death, including all the diseases, including all the troubles. It's going to have to happen all over again, just so you can be with that person in this type of body one more time. Whereas if you take it on the spiritual level, we can all be there and we can all be happy. There won't be any of these problems. So better to look at the spiritual aspect for solutions, not simply focus on these bodies and how they interact. Yeah, there'll be interaction. Is that what you want? Ultimately, no. Because there's always an other side. Every time there's a nice side, there's a bad side. It's like sometimes we'll see in a family, You know, there's some good relationship, and then something happens. And then they don't talk again, sometimes for the rest of their life. It happened in my family, some disagreement between my aunt and her mother, my grandmother. They didn't talk again for the rest of their lives. Even though they lived close to each other, they wouldn't talk. Such, this is karma. This is material situation, good, bad, with somebody, not with somebody. It's a, as they call it, what's it called? A melodrama or a soap opera, you know, where you just go churning it back and forth, good and bad, up and down. Any other questions? Oh, Stita D has a closing question.
Well, one thing is maybe there has, you know, to this amazing esoteric question here about life, you know, relationships over lifetimes. I mean, you could come back and you know, enemies, friends, this and that, but it's still temporary. It's not just because it maybe lasts longer than this one spot life. That's permanent. You know, it could last hundreds and thousands of lifetimes where you're engaging in conditional pastimes with another conditioned soul. And that concept of relationship is still temporary because it's still conditioned and it has a beginning and an end. And it's not based on the essential nature of the self.
Yeah, it won't solve the situation and give a happy ending. Everybody wants the happy ending. They think, like, I'll go live with my relatives eternally. You know, in which body will I live with them? In which body will I live? You know, the 20-year-old body, the 30-year-old, the 50-year-old, the 80-year-old? Which body is I'm going to get? You know, I don't want the 80-year-old. John Mousney wants to say one last thing.
One thing that's very effective, I think most devotees see this, you know, it's like within the Sangha of Vaishnavas, Uyamakyati Prichati. I mean, that's basically Arjuna was in an extremely disturbed condition, and that there's this dialogue going on, and I think all of us experience this in our devotional lives. I mean, if I look at what's kept me alive, you know, for the last 37 years, you know, in the movement, it's been this principle, Guhyamakyati Prichati, you know, to inquire and reveal one's mind in confidence, inquire confidentially. You know, that's, you know, it's actually much superior to what Sigmund Freud had to offer, you know, and it actually gives genuine peace. And one experiences transcendental ecstasy through that.
Yeah, definitely. Ecstasy.
He's a cocaine addict. So whatever he figured out didn't help him. He was very distracted of it.
Yeah, who knows what his future life will be. Jai, Al Gaur, Shri Prabhupada, Srinath, Gantaraj, Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.